It is great to be home, and I do mean that, because, you know, over 4 decades ago, I was in Tonga is where I was actually born, but just under 4 years ago, Tassie is where I was born again. So I consider myself a son of this house, you know, so we are related, whether you like it or not, because, you know, you can choose your friends, but you're stuck with your family. So even though we're in a different postcard code, I'm so grateful that I can come home. And it's quite special for me because I know this is a very significant time in the life of the church with your brand new ministers. And I'm so grateful for Pastors Sean and Morella. And, you know, more than the obligatory shout out, I really want to honour these guys because before they were given a title, before they were given a position or recognition, they acted out what was already in their heart. You know, you can't make someone what they're not. And so they are the most extremely pastoral people that I've ever come across. If anyone's in trouble, they're the first to be there, first to call, first to text, first to encourage you. So you guys are in great hands with Sean and Morella, and we just want to honour you guys and thank you. And thank you for letting me come back home. But I believe a great church is like an iceberg. 10% seen, 90% unseen. What you see around you and what you've seen on the screen is all but 10%, you know, because what you don't see, the 90%, is parents getting their kids up early so they can get to band practice and rehearse, and parents getting their kids up early so they can get to kids' church and prepare, and all these people that do the cafe and the car park and all these amazing things, and that's just Sunday. What you don't see during the week are people gathered together in homes, and they're praying and they're believing and they're looking to serve the community, and people that are working in high-powered jobs, that are working long hours, and then they leave work and they come into the boardroom and they meet and they plan and they pray and they look at ways at extending their reach into this community. So I want to thank you for the 90% that is unseen, but believe me, heaven sees what we don't see. Amen, amen. So I just want to share a little bit. I know there's food out there, so I'm going to go fast. But shout out to the De Silvers. I am staying with the kids' pastors here, and I tell you what, they are feeding me the equivalent of my body weight in food. So, between my wife, who's an Italian that loves to cook, and my Singaporean sister, Janet De Silva, they may not let me back on the plane this afternoon. So I'm so grateful for just the family that are here and all of you. And we are on a journey. And without what happened to us here, this is the place where God breathed. Basically breathed into me and healed me, restored me, and whispered to me the purpose of my life. So we are trying to live that out as best we can right now. But if you've got your Bibles, I want you to turn with me to the book of Luke chapter 1. And this is an origin story of sorts. So before there was the nativity scene, Mary, Joseph, and baby Jesus in the manger, there was a gentleman by the name of Zechariah, his wife Elizabeth. So Hollywood knows the importance of origin stories. You know, the X-Men have an entire franchise based on what happened before they were who they are now. You know, and before The Lord of the Rings, there was the Hobbit trilogy. So this is an origin story of sorts. Before we hit Mary and Joseph and baby Jesus, I want to start with a passage that talks about a gentleman by the name of Zechariah and his wife Elizabeth. They are elderly people. They are good people. They believe that God's given them something, or believe that God is giving them something, but they haven't seen it come to pass. So if you have your Bibles, That's great. If you don't, I'm going to assume that you have this memorized. But if you don't, that's all right, because we'll just share the big family Bible up on the screen. So this is Luke chapter 1, and I'm reading from verse 5. In the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron, the original high priest. Both of them were righteous in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly. But they were childless because Elizabeth was not able to conceive, and they were both very old. Once when Zechariah's division was on duty and he was serving as priest before God, he was chosen by lot according to the custom of the priesthood to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time for the burning of incense came, all the assembled worshippers were praying outside. Then, someone say then. An angel of the Lord appeared to him standing at the right side of the altar of incense. Do you know that you can gather and pray in one place and at the same time release a breakthrough for someone else in another place? That's the power of church. That when we gather together, you can pray and believe for something here and a breakthrough happens somewhere else. Watch what happens with the angel. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard." Hold up. What was he praying for? You're about to find out. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John. So let me just review this for you. This is an elderly couple. These guys are getting ready for the aged care facility. But yet, Zechariah has the audacity to step into the presence of God and still ask for something ridiculous. He asks for them to have a child. And you know what happens? It's about to happen. And I don't know what maybe you might be thinking, I'm not going to ask God for that because it's impossible. It's too far gone. My circumstances won't allow it. Everything I see around it is opposed to it. Can I just tell you that Zechariah is teaching us here to have the audacity to ask? Have the audacity to ask? Because who you are asking is not on a budget. Did you know God's not on a budget? Do you know that heaven has never had to portion things out? So have the audacity to ask. Moses had the audacity to ask God, "Show me your glory." And God says to him, "No man can see me and live." Moses says, "Show me anyway." God says, "Okay, I'm going to put you in the cleft of this mountain. I'm going to cover you with my hand. I'm going to walk past. I'm going to let go, and you're going to see part of me." Have the audacity to ask. Elisha the prophet asked for double of what Elijah had, and he got it. Peter, a fisherman, had the audacity to ask Jesus, "I see you walking on the water. Can I come and do that too?" And you know what I love? I love that Jesus didn't rebuke him. Oh, Peter, Peter, Peter. Do you know that these divine feats of miracles are only reserved for us in the God echelon? You're just but a plain fisherman. God didn't rebuke him. God didn't ridicule him. God just said, "Come." Have the audacity to ask. Ask, and it shall be received. So the angel said to him, "Don't be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John. He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth." I want to jump down to 23, and it says this. It says, "When his time, Zechariah of service, was completed, he returned home. After this, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant, and for 5 months remained in seclusion. 'The Lord has done this for me,' she said. 'In these days he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace among the people.'" Verse 26, "In the 6th month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, 'Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you.' Mary was greatly troubled at this, at his words, and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary. you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. How will this be? Mary asked the angel. Since I am a virgin. I'm so glad that God did not Instagram the Bible. God did not filter the stories of the Bible. There are people imperfect that have questions, they have doubts, they have fears, they have failures, they have weaknesses, and the Bible accounts it all. No filter. God did not Instagram the Bible. He just said, these are imperfect people, but I'm a perfect God, and they are still worthy of me. So you don't need to be perfect. You don't need to just blindly have faith to believe this. You can ask questions. Mary asked questions here. And she says, how will this be since I'm a virgin? The angel said, the Holy Spirit will come on you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail. That right there is a great place to say amen. Father, we thank you for this time. I pray, Lord God, that you would give us ears to hear, hearts to receive. Help us, Lord God, to encounter you. Lord God, I thank you for the word that you have spoken. You have said that it will never return to you void. So we pray right now, Lord God, that what you send out, that it will achieve its purpose in every fertile heart in this place. And we believe you for a harvest. In Jesus' name, amen. The title of this message is Pregnant with Promise. Pregnant with Promise. Two women, one old, one young, both get pregnant miraculously. One may have thought it's too late. The other may have thought, I'm too little. And yet God still gives them this incredible promise that they carry, and it ends up coming into fruition. I thought about this when I was preparing, and based on what I believe God has told me personally and for my family about pursuing, and in a way, it's kind of our pregnancy. And I felt like, you know, if I was sitting down having a conversation with Elizabeth and Mary, and we're all sitting there with our big bellies and comparing notes and talking about our journeys. And I leant over. I believe that if I were to speak to Elizabeth, she would tell me something. And in this time, both women have actually preached to me through their pregnancy. And that's really what I want to impart today. That's what I want to impart to you, because I believe that maybe you're in a position where God's spoken something to you and you're carrying this word around and you haven't seen it happen. You haven't seen it fulfilled. You haven't seen it come to pass, but you're still believing. How do you know if you're pregnant with a promise? Same way you know you're pregnant with a baby. You start expanding. So your circumference of love starts to spread out from just yourself. Your appetites, your priorities start to change. You know, if I'm pregnant and stuff, I can't be running down to the rugby field to play rugby. I've got some stuff to protect. There are some places I can't go. There are some things I can't do. Some foods I can't eat. Some things I can't feed myself with because I'm protecting this promise. And so I just want to offer a couple of quick thoughts today about, and this is for you, if you are waiting to see something that has not been fulfilled yet. And I believe if Elizabeth were here and sharing her journey, she would tell us, stop rehearsing, start rerouting. Stop rehearsing, start rerouting. We moved to Sydney a few months ago, like James told you. And one of the things I miss most about Hobart is the traffic, or the lack thereof. Because we live in probably the best part of Sydney. I don't know if you're there, but we're on the northern beaches and it is beautiful. But it is far to everywhere else. So it is 45 minutes to get to church. It is an hour for me to get to work. Every place is far. And what we're discovering is we are spending more and more time in the car. And we're not used to that. Because here, you know, if you drive more than 10 or 15 minutes, you know, you might start throwing a tantrum. Because, you know, it's just too far. But we're in the car and we're heading to church, and you know, and I am directionally challenged. I will just fess up to that from the beginning. I'm not good with directions. And so we're in the car. It is hot, you know, and our kids are in the back and they are having a moment. And parents, you know what I mean. They're having a moment. Now, our kids are 7 and 11, which is appropriate because they never shut up. And so they're in the back here, and I'm trying to drive, and I'm trying to get to this place, and I've never been there. And they're in the back, and they are at it. They are at it, you know, nonstop. He poked his tongue at me. She poked me. He's looking outside my window. He's on my side. No, I'm not. Yes, I am. No, I'm not. Yes, I am. It's at this point that Dad loses his cool, and I'm trying to navigate, you know, all the traffic, multi lanes, people everywhere, and I'm driving. So at this point, I just reach back just to bring some law and order back into it. And my kids, all of a sudden, they become like evasive ninjas, you know. So they're like, it's like a scene from The Matrix, and people are walking past and going, is that Neo in there? And I've got all of this chaos that is happening inside the car, as well as all this chaos outside, multi-lanes, people cutting you off, all of this. Can I tell you that the only saving grace for me in that kind of environment is Google Maps? I tell you, I love Google Maps, and I'm not being sponsored by them, I should, but I love them because in the midst of all this chaos, you know, I have already said, hey Siri, navigate to, and I give her the address. And Siri just brings up a map and gives me specific instructions. That's what I need. I need specific instructions. At the next exit, at the next roundabout, take the second exit. In 500 meters, turn right. I love that because now I get to sit in the car and listen to two women tell me what to do. So I'm in the car, and my wife's just looking out the window, just sort of thinking, get me out of here. I'm not a celebrity, but get me out of here anyway. And but Siri comes to the rescue, and so she is giving me specific instruction. But because of all this chaos that's happening in my car, I miss the turn. But you know what I love about Siri? She does this thing, and this symbol starts to come up like it's loading. I don't know if you've seen this, and it just loads like a circle, and it says, rerouting. Siri doesn't stress out. Siri doesn't fret. She just reroutes. And she says, there's an alternate way. And I think of Elizabeth going home with her husband Zechariah, time after time, going to family functions, going to friends' places, and they're seeing all these kids around and going home to an empty house, but for them too. I see them faithfully serving. The Bible says that they are good people, day after day, Sunday after Sunday, in church, doing all of this, and nothing happens. No child, no baby. And they have one of two choices. They could say, maybe this is our lot in life. Maybe we've done something wrong. Maybe it's just not for us. So we'll just accept this. They don't rehearse their pain. Something within them reroutes them to try again. And so Zechariah stands in this place and he's about to step in the presence of God. And he asks one more time and he gets his breakthrough. Stop rehearsing the pain of your past. Start rerouting the promise of your future. One of the most difficult days that I had to endure was when I was let go by an organization that I worked for. And it was difficult because it was totally my fault. It was a great organization, but I just could not fulfill what was required. And I'll never forget one Friday afternoon at 4 o'clock, I had a meeting and they told me. And the meeting finished at 5 o'clock, and I was really hurt, not for myself, but I felt like you're irresponsible because you're a husband and you're a father and you haven't lifted your game. The catch was, that was 5 p.m. on a Friday. At 6:30 p.m., I had to get up and preach at a Friday night church service. So I had two choices. I could stay and rehearse in that place of my pain. And let me tell you, that's all I wanted to do. I just wanted to curl up in the fetal position, stay on my bed all night, listening to sad Adele songs, feeling sorry for myself. I could stay in that place, or I could reroute back to what I believe God was calling me to. And that's what I did. Got up, preached the message. People got saved. People got edified. People got built up. The problem is that we rehearse our failures and our weaknesses over and over and over again, like an endless playlist we put on loop. And we think, I've failed. I'm a failure. I messed up. And that is the only thing we are hearing. But I came here to tell you that God's word for you is to stop rehearsing and start rerouting, because God is giving you another way. A closed door is not rejection, it's redirection. There is another way. There is another way. But sometimes we get so stuck on what happened, our failures, our weaknesses, our faults, that we cannot see the promise that God has for us. I think of Noah in the Bible, the original Noah. You know, Noah has gone through this extremely traumatic experience. Up until that point, after he's built the ark, it has never rained on the earth. And then all of a sudden, 40 days, 40 nights, it rains continuously to the point where everything gets wiped out. And so Noah is in this ark. Beyond that, he's in there for weeks and months because the waters are waiting to subside. And I picture Noah because, you know, after everything happens and he comes out and he starts over again. The Bible says that he plants a vineyard. He takes up farming, which I don't blame him because, you know, for decades he was just nail and hammer. And he probably thought, I don't want to see an inside of another Bunnings store or another, you know, piece of timber or a hammer and nail again. So he took up winemaking. You know, so I imagine Noah out there. And he's in the field, he's got his three boys around him and they're working, you know, making great grapes, growing great grapes, preparing to make this wine. And Noah is so into it that he doesn't see the dark clouds coming over. And he doesn't pick up the moisture in the air. And then all of a sudden, he's there working, drops of rain start to fall. And his hand gets wet, his head gets wet. And he looks up and exclaims, rain! Quick, boys, get the food, get your mother, get the girls, get in the boat, now, get in the boat, quick, get the animals. No, not the whole herd, just two, not the two boys, just get in the boat. And Noah is frantic because the last time it rained, it wiped out everything. And so he is manic, it is chaos, he gets everyone in there, but in the midst of this, Mrs. Noah, intelligent, calm, dignified, like all women who are married to Noah. Make sure you tell my wife that when you see her. She walks over, poised, calm, relaxed, and she says, darling, look. And Noah turns around, and he sees it in the sky, God's promise painted in the sky for him. You see, God gave Noah a promise. It's not going to happen again, Noah. But because we get stuck in what was, we forget the promise of God. And I believe God wants to take us from rehearsing the things that went wrong so that we can see the painting of the promise that he has there for us. So I want to ask you, what is it that God has put in your heart? Because I want to believe with you that God has this there for a reason. And I just want to share this quickly as we close. And musicians, you can come up. That's Elizabeth. But if Mary were to give me some advice, I believe Mary would say to me, drip feed daily. Now, some of you who's been in hospital, you may recognize this, intravenous drip. After we arrived here, I ended up in hospital for, I can't remember for how long, but in that period of time, I had about 12 procedures on my kidneys, and I lost count of the amount of times that that I was hooked up to one of these things. And these things are phenomenal because they will drip feed to you, you know, the drugs and the necessary medication that you need to get better. But I believe that Mary, if she were here, she would say to us, drip feed daily. You see, there's this passage of scripture in Luke chapter 2, and it says that every time something miraculous happened to Mary concerning Jesus, the Bible says that she treasured it in her heart. She kept it in her heart. And I believe that was her way of drip feeding to herself every promise that she saw through this promised child. So the shepherds come and they announce what the angels told her. And she drip feeds that into her heart. The wise men come and they give gifts. She drip feeds that into her heart. They go and dedicate baby Jesus 8 days after he's born in the temple. And Simeon and the prophetess Anna are there and they declare prophecies over him. And she drip feeds that into her heart. If you're carrying a promise and it feels like it's on life support, can I tell you, the best thing for you to do is to drip feed it. Drip feed it. The amazing thing with a drip feed is that whether you know it or not, we drip feed stuff to us every day. You ever wondered why they call it a news feed, Twitter feed, Insta feed? And I'm not against any of this stuff. It's great to be informed, updated, and advised. But it can never, ever nurture and nourish you. Because the only thing that can is this book of promises that God has given us. So every day, our responsibility is to be drip-fed the promises of God to our lives. The Bible says that in Him, the promises of God are yes. That's God saying yes to what you're asking. And in Him, amen. So our part is to amen His yes. But we've got to drip feed it. We've got to drip feed it into our system daily. The promises, the things that He's spoken over your life have got to be drip fed daily. You cannot let a day go by without it feeding you, without it nurturing and nourishing you. Because you are who God called you to be. You need to drip feed your identity. Because you are created in the image of God, formed by the hands of God, oxygenated by the breath of God, saved by the Son of God, inhabited by the Spirit of God, empowered by the Word of God, commissioned to do the work of God, called by the will of God, and given every promise of God in Christ Jesus. And you need to drip feed it into your life every single day. Because that thing that you're carrying, that promise that you're carrying that you haven't seen yet, it needs it. It needs it. So despite what you don't see happening, despite whatever the resources or the lack thereof are telling you, drip feed God's promises. The reason is because your promise has a purpose. The angel specifically told Elizabeth, this son will bring great joy, and he will actually be a preparation for another promise. And then he told Mary, the promise you are carrying is going to reign from the throne of his father David. He's going to save the world. So the promise that you carry is actually not just for you. It's for other people. Your promise has a purpose, and your purpose is often attached to other people. So you need to drip feed it every single day, because Mary's promise became flesh. His name is Jesus. And He came to save every single one of us, not just from our sins, but from the pain of our past, so that we can be propelled forward to the promise of our future. Will you bow your heads and close your eyes with me, church? Father, I thank You for every word that You have spoken, every promise that You have given, even old prophecies that You have declared, Lord God, over Your people. Pastor Sean and Morella, as I was preparing for this, God distinctly spoke to me about this season. And He said to me, He said, son, you're not just going to preach a sermon. You're going to sow a seed into the womb of this church that will bring forth new life, new levels, and new leaders. And I believe that in this next 9-month period, you guys as leaders and as a community of believers, that God is going to breathe new life into things that maybe were stagnant or hibernating, things that seemed lifeless. God's going to breathe new life onto it. He's going to extend His reach into new areas, that's new levels, into new scopes and fields and industries that maybe you guys haven't been in before. And this is the crazy thing. He said, new leaders. And the words I actually heard was Leadership Academy. And I believe that this place will become a nursery where people can be raised and released so that they can influence their world. If leadership is influence, He's going to raise up influencers. They're going to influence every sphere of life here in Tassie. So I believe that. But if you are here and I just want to come into agreement with you, and maybe you are carrying something that you have not seen come to pass yet, it hasn't been fulfilled, can you just raise your hand? Because I want to pray with you. I want to be in agreement with you. I believe that God's word will never return to Him void, and it will never fail. Father, every hand that's lifted, Lord God, You see what we don't see. Every word spoken, every prophecy given, Lord God, I pray right now in the name of Jesus, according to their faith, that it come to pass. Father, I pray that it would birth new life, new faith, new vigor, Lord God. Every hand raised, every person who is believing for the ridiculous, for the impossible, for the incredible, because You are God and You are able to do exceedingly and abundantly more than we can ever ask or imagine. Thank You. You can put your hands down. And as we come to a close, if you have never received a promise, that's why I'm here. And I want to invite you to receive the greatest promise that God ever gave, and that was His Son, Jesus. His Son, Jesus. And the promise is that if you receive Him, He will wipe your slate clean and He will give you an abundant life that starts now. So whether you are new to church, new to faith, or whether you've been away for a while, as everyone's heads are bowed and eyes are closed, can you just lift your hand as an indication? Because I want to pray for you. And I believe God wants to place something in you that is specifically for you so that you can impact people. Awesome. See that hand? Wherever you are, great. I see that hand up the back. I see that. Awesome. Fantastic. Church, why don't we all stand to our feet and just let's all pray this prayer. Let's all pray this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank You that You came as my promise. I receive You into my life. I thank You that You have forgiven my past, that You have cleaned me of all my sins, and I receive the promise of new life right now in Jesus' name. Hey, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, can you see one of the pastors, one of the host teams? We just want to get around you and we want to encourage you and help you. But church, thank you so much for having me. God bless you and Merry Christmas.
Wonderful. Yeah, let's put another for our future.